Hello, everyone. Thank you for your company back here at Hooked on Sport. This is episode 2 of our pennant preview series as we start to look towards the Simpson Cup, which gets underway on February 22. Episode 1 has already dropped. I'd love you to go back and take a listen to that. We caught up with Michael Munn, who led the Glenelg Golf Club to the Simpson Cup victory last year. Ross Steedman also joined us from the Grange Golf Club. They were the runners-up last year and very, very commendable. And of course, they're going to be amongst the favourites to take it out again this year alongside Glenelg. Tonight, we talk with the group of the contenders, three clubs that I think don't need too much to go their way to be right at the pointy end this year. We're talking about the Vines Golf Club of Ranelagh, the Royal Adelaide Golf Club and the Teak Tree Gully Golf Club. And joining us is three of their key members. Firstly, probably this league's number one player, certainly in the conversation anyway, from the Vines, Sam Earl. Sam, welcome to Hooked on Sport.
Thanks for having me. Cheers.
From Teak Tree Gully, their team manager, Dylan Reid. Dylan, nice to have you join us.
Thanks, Ben. Nice to join you.
And Royal Adelaide's best player last year, comfortably, in a year where they made the semi-finals once again, is Alex Pacifico. Alex, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Guys, great to have your company. Sam, I'll start with you. You've been a few times in this competition. I think two finals in the last 5 years. The belief with this group still there?
Yeah, nothing's changed. We just go about our business the way the Vines does. I don't think we feel ourselves as underdogs, really. I think we are a team to beat, but we're certainly not up there with perhaps Glenelg or Cooey. We do have to have everything go well for us. We need a nice draw and we need a win against Teak Tree Gully and against maybe Royal, and definitely maybe take a scalp off of one of the big three that are there that are always contending. But yeah, we're positive coming into majority of seasons, yeah, and we're positive this year too.
You're an outlying group, Sam. I mean, you've got a couple of boys on the senior circuit, Tony Nobbs and Paul Gregory. You're not old, but certainly experienced, been around this competition a long time. Does that experience hold you guys in good stead?
I mean, yeah, we've had the same team more or less, give or take a few guys, for as long as I can remember. I was 18 and I was playing with Paul Gregory and Nobbsy and Corey Absol, and they were old then, yeah, and as well as Mark Potter as well, who's playing senior pennant. He's spearheads our B grade, so yeah, we're not short of experience, that's for sure. And then we've had Benny Pierce last year came in, and he's actually like fairly experienced, come over from Thaxted. So yeah, it's probably something in our favour.
Dylan, tell us how your group looks. It's been a real changing of the guard at Teak Tree Gully the last few years. I mean, Chris Austin and Matt McMahon were right up at the pointy end. And we've really seen, I guess, Sean Park as the new banker for the Teak Tree Gully Golf Club.
Yeah, well, Sean's actually about to embark on a professional apprenticeship, so he will be out for us this year. But you may see some familiar faces back in the back of the team this year.
Well, share it with us, Dylan. Tell us who we're likely to see on Sunday.
I don't know whether I can go that far. We've got the opposition on the screen. I'm relatively new to the club. I've only been there for almost 3 years now, so and just come on board as a pennant manager. So everything's kind of new. But yeah, there'll be a lot of familiar faces, but some new blood coming through the team as well.
Sadira Bodaju is one who I imagine we're going to see once again, talking about familiar faces. He has just been such a reliable performer for your club for so long now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's in really good form. He's been posting some really good rounds recently. So absolutely, yeah, Sadira will be there for sure.
Alex, you've been in and around this group for a number of years yet now, but you had an absolute standout year last year, made the team of the year for the first time. Was there anything behind your real resurgence in form in 2025?
I'd love to say yes, but came out of the blue, really. No, it's nice. You've spent a lot of years around the competition, and to put a season together like that was fantastic. We're chasing team success, though. And there's a number of players in the squad and around the team that want that success as well. So, yeah, individual accolades are fantastic, but we're there to win the Simpson Cup. And as you well know, it's been a number of years between drinks at Royal Adelaide. And there's a, sort of a core group there that have been around the squad and the team for a number of years, thinking Billy Cawthorn, Will Arnold, Matt Lawson, that won that success. So yeah, it was a great to have a personal positive year last year, but obviously Glenelg did us in the semis up at the Vines, and we'd like to make amends for that this year.
It's interesting you brought it up, Alex, because I did have a little asterisk in my notebook here, but I think it's something like 84 years now since Royal Adelaide has lifted the Simpson Cup. I was having a conversation with Ross Steeman only a week ago. We were talking about their drought, which is stretched out to 12 years now. Do you guys discuss that and talk about the fact that you'd love to be the group that finally breaks the drought down there at Seton?
I don't think the players talk about it too much, but there's definitely some comments from the members every now and then, to be honest. No, at the end of the day, I think Sam touched on it before, like, it's such an even competition. You need things to go your way for 7 weeks and then your semi and your final. There's good players everywhere. The Vines, I think Kionga, Glenelg always, Grange, and even like we've spoken about with Dylan on board, like Tea Tree Gully as well, and some of the smaller clubs. You got seven players and everyone can play golf. So you definitely have to have things go your way. Yeah, there's definitely a respect for the competition, and no, always looking forward to getting out there on a Sunday and beating everyone up.
Alex, Team of the Year last year, your first selection. What does that mean to a player like you who has had a great year and you get that recognition in and amongst all of the other teams?
It's nice recognition. Like I said before, I wish I had some more substance as to why. Golf's a hobby now. We play on a Sunday and might get out once during the week. A lot of us, I'd say, I don't know, over 50, 60% of us are working full-time, and it's fun. So I get potentially that's where it's at. It's an enjoyable outlet on a Sunday, and we get to practice once a week, so that might help. Maybe a little bit of practice might help. But no, it's nice recognition for sure. We're all competitive. We all, at some point in our lives, we've sort of played at a high level. Sam's obviously played at the highest level. You want to win. Like, at the end of the day, it's all laughing and fun and friendly beforehand. But once you put the tee in the ground, it's game on. So yeah, to have a successful season and be recognised for something like that's obviously fantastic. But you go down to the semi final and that doesn't really matter. I think the team of the year gets announced the weekend of the final, so you're not playing and you're like, oh, it's not good. It's not a good feeling. So yeah, it's wonderful in one sense, but you're there to win the whole thing.
Bittersweet in another, from a guy who's made that team of the year one time to a guy who's made it five. No one's made that team more than you, Sam Earle. You continue to enjoy that responsibility. I mean, you've made this team five times, as I said, and pretty much every time you've done it, playing number one, the pointy end, the toughest role in the competition. You still enjoy mixing it with these hot young kids?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I've always liked playing number one, because if I lose, it kind of means that, you know, I lost to the best player from their team and I don't feel that bad about it. But I haven't done a lot of losing, to be fair. But no, I do. I am very competitive. I love to practice. I love to play good golf. And yeah, like Alex said, like, it's very competitive when you tee it up. And like, it's probably not the same this year either. I'm probably going to be going in guns blazing, trying to win every match by as much as I can. Even though I am working full time and have kids, nothing's changed mentally. Nothing I can do about that, unfortunately.
We've talked about the experience in your group, but there is a quirk to your team, and that's the father-son combination. So Tony Knobbs playing alongside his lad Charlie, and Charlie is still very, very young, and we hope to see his career continue to progress. That must be a wonderful little story, watching dad and his lad turn up together and see if they can compare wins at the end of the day.
Well, yeah, it is cool. We do talk about selections and who's going to play three or who's going to play four, and not sure whether we put Tony up or put Charlie up. Depends, more so Charlie's performances. Tony's rock solid. Sorry, yeah. Charlie. But no, Charlie's working hard. He's always trying to beat his old man. It's good to have that competition between them. And even the brother Dino, you know, Dino, like, the three of them are all very good golfers and no one likes losing to each other. So it's good to have that. And it is fun. It's cool. It's really cool.
Off to Glenelg week one, boys, but then Tea Tree Gully week two. Dylan, you're hosting both the Simpson Cup and the Bonner Cup, and I guess you really want to press home that home course advantage, if you like. I suspect the club's going to make a big deal out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I keep referring it to Super Sunday, so really want to get members out from all the clubs to come and see their players from both Bonner and Simpson Cup, and, you know, see some of the best players in the amateur players in the state. go head to head. It should be a really good day. Hopefully the weather turns it on. The course will be in great nick. So yeah, it should be a good day out.
Alex, what's that experience like when you turn up at a place like Tea Tree Gully or the Vines and the members are out there in force?
I'll stop there for 1 second. I have to say, as a player, I love that the Tea Tree Gully Golf Club have embraced the B grade and A grade on the same day. I think Thaxted Park last year. Sam, you might be able to help me out.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it was
A grade and B grade up there that day. And so that's I've seen the draw, obviously, and that, like, you see that and you go, that's awesome. You get out there, watch the B grade in the morning or vice versa, and the other guys in the afternoon. So that, yeah, that straight away creates the atmosphere. So back to your question with the members out there, I think it's fantastic, and I think that more clubs should embrace that. I don't know the logistics of all of that, but the more time you can have the A grade and the B grade in the same spot on the same day, I think it just creates a better atmosphere. Obviously, more players around. Like, I'll definitely be getting out there to watch the B grade in the morning before the A grade play. And yeah, I assume members sort of are happy for one day to get out there and support their players.
Alex, you talked about a couple of the mainstays around your group. Michael Richardson's been someone who's really risen up the ranks in the last few years. I'm interested in your thoughts on Josh Grundle. Very, very young, won a club championship at Royal Adelaide at 13 or 14. Has pushed his way into state selection. How is his development going as someone, from your perspective, who, you know, has a wise old head on your shoulders these days and gets an opportunity to, I guess, observe these young kids from afar?
That's very kind of you, Hooky. Yeah, so Josh is one of the young ones. There's a few young ones pushing for selection this year, which is fantastic for our golf club to have young kids come through, I guess, the junior program, junior system at the golf club and start pushing for senior selections. Only a positive for us as a club now and into the future. So Josh is obviously probably the headline act there, but there's other young guys coming through, Hudson Haynes, Billy White, Seth Timko. They'll all be around the senior pennant squad this year. Well, I'm not sure where they all fall into the pecking order. Leave that to the boss. Yeah, so Josh on his own obviously has done so much as a young man. So he's developing, he's working it all out. And then, yeah, we've got the other young guys coming through. I'm thinking, yeah, Billy White, Hudson Haynes, Seth Timko. With a combination, like you said, of some older, more experienced heads in sort of Michael Richardson, Nathan Kent and Anthony Olsen. So there's plenty to pick from there. It's about getting the right seven on the park.
Absolutely, it is. Sam sort of outlined, he's sort of plotted out the season and where they need to maybe pinch a win and what they need to do at home and where they need to be strong on the hills type courses. What's the game plan that Rod Phillips has probably outlined for Royal Adelaide? I'm sure you don't want to give absolutely every secret away, Alex, but you know, is there, I guess, a roadmap in your mind towards a semi-final and a final?
Not so much a roadmap, but I think that everyone's doing the same thing. We're all trying to get four wins on a Sunday, aren't we? Because that gets you the point. Mm. We've made a big deal the last few years of getting up to the hills courses in particular, because we find as a squad that they're sort of, you know, we're going to get down at the big four, down at Grange, Kionga, Glenelg, Royal. But sometimes the quirkier hills courses, I don't play very often outside of pennant season, so I'm only ever playing down at Royal. So I'm not experiencing that. I'm not playing Vardens or anything anymore. We've already been up to Mount Osmond as a squad, which is probably the quirkiest of the lot of them. A lot of us have played a lot of golf at the Vines now. Obviously, they had the semi-final there last year as well, so we've been up there, same as Thaxted. They've sort of been in the competition for a while, so you sort of get used to those golf courses. But no, in terms of a roadmap, not really. It's just 1 week at a time. It's so cliche, but it's 1 week at a time for try and get four wins on the board and see where that leaves you at the end of the year. Now with the semi-finals as well, there's more of an opportunity. But yeah, it's just 1 week at a time and 4 points on the board.
Dylan, you mentioned there's going to be a few familiar faces back for Tea Tree Gully this year, and I guess we can start to perhaps identify who we're going to see turning out on Sunday down there at Glenelg. Is there, I guess, some factors that you've identified that you really feel like some boxes you need to tick if Tea Tree Gully are going to be playing in the postseason?
I think for us this year, I've kind of set a new direction for pennants moving forward. So I think for us this year, really, it is a new year, foundation year to really set that in, bed that in, and then kind of plan for the future. But I think, yeah, all the guys have been playing, we've been training really well, everyone's really upbeat. I got everyone on board and kind of gave them a roadmap of how I want to kind of take things forward over the next few years, and everyone's on board with that, which is really cool. And yeah, everyone's got a spring in their step, so it's really good. Everyone's kind of just ready to kind of rip into it, really.
D, Dylan, I've got to say, mate, I've picked up a twang in your accent. I'm currently at the Intercontinental Hotel in Wellington. I'm supposed to be in Queenstown by now, but your weather has been so disastrous that I cannot get to Queenstown until Wednesday. The airport closed, backlog of flights. So I hope you're enjoying our South Australian weather over there, 38, I believe, today, while I'm dealing with what you left for.
I've been here 15 years, so I consider myself part of the furniture now. We were just back in New Zealand in early January. I brought my golf clubs over, had all these big plans of playing Tiaroa links, and I managed to get out at Royal Auckland because I've got a mate who's a member there. It hosed down for 8 of the 10 days we were there, so I took my golf clubs over there basically for nothing in the end.
Dylan, thanks so much for your time, and we look forward to seeing Tea Tree Gully and how they perform, and in particular, all the best for your big day. I think it's March 1.
Yeah, March 1st.
You're hosting the Simpson Cup and the Bonner Cup together up there at the Gully. We thank you for your time.
No worries, Sam. All
the very best to you and the Vines, a club that I have so much respect for. You guys have done so much and, you know, clearly perhaps don't have quite the resources of what the Tier 1 clubs get, but your performance has been outstanding, and we certainly look forward to seeing that again throughout 2026.
Beauty. Cheers for having me, Hoogie. Thanks.
And Alex, all the best to you, my man. A great performance last year. Hope to see that continue. And yes, I'm sure that all the people down at Seton want to see Royal Adelaide end that 84-year drought. And I'm pretty confident that if that occurs, you're going to have to play your part, my man.
Thanks for having me, Hookie. Appreciate it.
Good on you, boys. All the very best. It all gets underway on the February the 22nd. It is the Glenelg Golf Club. And then, of course, as we've outlined, off to Tea Tree Gully for week two. And it all takes shape from there. Boys, thanks so much for your time. We will see you over the course of the season.
Thanks, Ben.
Cheers, Ben. Thank you.
Thank you.
With the last putt sunk, that's a wrap on this golf edition of Hooked on Sport. Thanks for listening. Help us meet more golfers just like you by following us and leaving a review. We look forward to your company on the next golf edition of Hooked on Sport.